Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name is Chris Bartlett.
And if he just blew out your ears, I'm sorry, but my name is Matt Rice, and we are happy to have you guys here on the Catholic Dad Show. Just a couple of Catholic dads trying to do the best we can, trying to follow the Lord in leading our family and grow in Catholic fatherhood. And we hope to share what we learn with you guys and address things that you guys send to us as well.
Hey, we want to welcome you to the year 2023. This is so exciting to be in a brand new year. Matt, how was your New Year's Eve and everything?
I'm sure it was amazing, Chris.
And New Year's resolutions, I know you love those.
Oh, those of you that don't know, we record this way ahead of time, and New Year's has not happened yet as we record this. It's not that I don't remember my New Year's. It just hasn't happened yet.
I am being a turd, so. Okay, so today we're talking about being a dad on an empty tank, and it's interesting because over Thanksgiving break and over breaks and things like that, things actually don't get less busy sometimes. You got to pack up the car. You got to figure out all the logistics with getting your family to and from these different places, different locations. And so there's almost no rest in regards to it. But we were actually supposed to record last week, and Matt was just like wiped. He was like, I'm done. I'm spent. And and so like How'd being a father go during that time?
It's funny because I think wasn't it Wednesday of last week and today's Wednesday, you know, and it was after a full day of ministry. You know, I'd gotten up at 5 a.m, you know, was, you know, doing ministry stuff until 7 o'clock that night, I think. And the next day I was just exhausted. I was just wiped. And so this topic of being a dad on empty tank came up. And it was interesting because what I could do here with this show, which was postpone recording, let's just not record this week. You know, Chris like gave me a whole lot of suggestions and even said, hey, why don't we like have the conversation on being a dad with an empty tank while you're on an empty tank? And I'm like, no, like, because that would actually not be the best version of this podcast or this video.
Sure.
As it would be. But the good thing is I could pause that. I could say, no, we're not going to do that this week. We're going to do it next week. But when I went home, I couldn't do that. I couldn't say, Isaac, I'll love you tomorrow. Now it may have changed what I did, because like energy level wise, there are certain things that I just wasn't able to do. But there's no doubt, like there's, I don't know, a level of dad that you can't get below even when you're exhausted. But what leads to some of that stuff, like there are so many things that can lead to being in exhausted dad mode, you know, and I think about, tragedies, you know, losses in the family, deaths, different things like that. You're just emotionally drained.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, that you're in, you know, spiritual desolation, your prayer life is hurting. So you've got spiritual drain, you know, then you've also got physical drain where either you're not sleeping right, you're not eating right. And then like, I also think about work, you know, and I don't know if that would be also physical draining, you know, but if you're, it's a particular like busy season at work, then work tends to take a lot more of your energy, and you get drained from that. So there's a lot of different things that can drain you as a father. And they're all normal and they happen to every single one of us. There's not a dad out there that I've ever met that has never felt drained, at some point. When they go home.
Yeah. And there's this interesting thing. So my wife went through some illness recently, and one of the things that would help her is sleep. Right. Yeah. And so when I went to bed, I basically had to sleep with one eye open so that if the kids came in because they couldn't find their cup or because they had to go to the bathroom, like you walked past a bathroom to come in here, what is going on? Anyways, these are dad frustrations, but I slept with one eye open so that I could be the one to intercept the kids before they woke my wife up. And so it was almost like I was in a mode of constant vigilance, right?
Yep.
And so there's that to where it's like there is no downtime or whatever. But I also wanted to talk about the work one for a moment as well. Like there's unique tension there because it's like, yes, I'm spending time away from the family, which almost feels like I'm not being a good dad because I'm at work so much. But there's seasons in work to where you're making big bets or big surges that will ultimately provide for a long-term financial security or stability for the family, and it's like, and as fulfilling as a dad, as a man, to be able to kill a project at work, to do well at work. And I want my kids to have a father who does well at his job, and who enjoys his job, and who is diligent and is willing to make effort into it. I hate the fact that it feels like there's a trade-off when I think they're actually both working towards the same end. But there's
because I mean, there. Like when you're working, you're providing for your family. So it's connected to your role as father. There are different times, you know, when work just takes more from you. And it does hinder or inhibit what you're able to give to your family.
And sometimes that doesn't seem fair.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about. Like minister, like, I don't know, being a dad on an empty tank, you know, what does that look like? And Chris and I don't have like all the answers here. I'm sure like different dads have done different things either to renew or refresh their tank or fill their tank, you know, before, you know, they walk home or they come home. But there's also sometimes there's this like bare minimum, like, and maybe we can talk about different strategies, you know, of dealing with an empty tank, you know. Some strategies involve like trying to find a way to quickly fill the tank, you know, or to augment the tank, which is, I don't know, like a caffeine pill, you know, Chris, like there you go.
I have.
I knew you were going to pull them up. Yep.
Or cocaine if we're living in the 80s.
And it could be, you know, that like you take 20 minutes before you even get home, you know, to stop by the Adoration Chapel, and just rest, you know, a little bit, you know, with the Lord. But like for me, I find myself, probably leaning more towards the, I don't know, what's the minimum I can do in this moment to not be a bad dad. So I'm not exactly striving for excellence, you know, in that moment when I'm exhausted, you know, when I'm wiped, when I've got an empty tank. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I definitely have a threshold where, I won't do less than this, you know?
Sure.
But I definitely find myself saying no to things that I would have said yes to the day before.
Yeah. Yeah. So one example of that would be to delay, right?
Yeah.
And so you did that with the podcast last week, but you can also do that with your own children to be like, not right now. Daddy's exhausted from work. He needs to take a few minutes. And that delay could be 10 minutes. Let me just go change into a pair of shorts or get into something more comfortable and then just sit for 10, 15 minutes in silence to kind of shift. I know some dads who regularly do that at the end of their work day, and that actually helps them to be more successful or less exhausted. It fills up their tank, even if it's just for a short period of time. But the other piece is sometimes I think it's prudent for me when I'm running on an empty tank, angry dad comes out a lot more frequently. For me to tell my kids no, it's actually saying a deeper yes, because I don't want you to annoy me to see angry dad. Like, I don't want you to see that version of fatherhood.
I'm protecting you from what's coming next.
It was just one of my jobs is to be a protector, right? That's one of my jobs. Yeah. So it's okay. I think it's okay to say no, at times, or to delay at times. But there's other times where it's like, well, my wife is at a ministry event or she's working late or something like that, to where it's like, sorry, kids, make your own dinner. And it's like, I'm 18 months old. Like, I can't, you know what I mean? And so what does it look like to say, well, tonight might be a pizza night, or tonight might be mac and cheese instead of whatever we had originally planned, and to take shortcuts? But shortcuts can only really be taken for a short amount of time before bigger issues really need to be addressed. And so kind of to shift, at least in one area, I think we got to look at our team, right?
Yeah. And that's what I was about to say, but yeah, go ahead.
And so I want to say there's three people on our team, right? In regards to this, the first one that we want to talk about is Jesus. Talk to Jesus. You know what I mean? Obviously your prayer life and things like that. Like, we have grace from God to be successful as fathers, because God has literally entrusted us with this vocation of fatherhood. That's a given one. That's almost the Catholic check the box type of thing.
One, and like on that same note, like, make sure you're disposed to receive the graces that you get, you know, from God as a father, which means go to confession regularly. Like if you find yourself like exhausted and angry more often, like check and see when the last time you went to confession was and make sure you're disposed to receive those graces.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Jesus,
sure.
Number one.
Jesus is definitely number one. The second person I think is your spouse. And my wife has done this both intentionally and by necessity. So intentionally, I come home from leading a retreat or after a major work event. She knows I'm exhausted. She lets the kids come give me a hug. I give the kids a hug. And then she's like, head upstairs, take an hour of rest. I'll call you when dinner's ready. And then she has that expectation after that time that I kind of re-enter regularly into the family. And so she's a huge teammate there. But there's also times where she can see me, you know, I don't know why kids don't know how to put pajamas on. But it's like, I can't put it over my head. I'm just like, this is the third time I've told you, and I'm going to start spanking butts if we don't get this done. And then she sees angry dad kind of boiling up, and she comes up and she'll say, hey, Chris, why don't you head downstairs and do the dishes and listen to some music while you do it? She knows that I can unwind while still doing things and contributing, but putting my kids to bed in that moment isn't what's best for my kids or for my fatherhood. Yeah. And so the spouse is a teammate. Anything you want to add to the spouse?
Well, yeah, like I want to highlight the idea that your wife is aware. Cause a lot of times when your wife is home while you're away, they just can't wait for you to get there and them to unload everything to you, you know, and for her to have the mindset of, this event is not over until dad's been home for an hour. Like, so she's like, and then she can unload,
yeah.
You know, and then she can start depending on you. And so I don't know the best way, you know, for a father or a husband to communicate that to their wives, or you suggest it to their wives, maybe watch this episode. I don't know.
All the wives of the husbands listening right now are going to be mad at me and my wife. Kendra does that for Chris from the Catholic Dad Show. And they're like, oh, that Kendra, you know, yeah, sure.
But that's a really good, like, just changing your mindset. Because a lot of times, like, you set expectations and then when reality hits, you're disappointed, you know, like set the expectations a little bit further out than the second that my foot crosses that threshold.
Yeah.
You know, and husbands, same thing goes for you. Like when your wives are away or your wives are doing things like this, give them a buffer. You know, when they come home, because like, as far as I, like my wife, like the age of my kids, they like are so attached to mommy. The second she walks in the door, I mean, they are just going to like magnet to her.
Like so leeches though, not in a life-giving way, but like suck the life out of her. Yeah,
absolutely. So if she's just gone on a retreat and she's coming back home from a retreat, it may be good for me to take the kids to the park, you know, for when she gets home. So she can come home, have a good 20, 30 minutes or whatever,
right. And
then we come home.
Yeah.
And the kids will have spent some energy, you know, and mom will have like gotten home and decompressed a little bit and not just gotten shocked, you know, immediately with, you know, everything. I really like that. I think that's a really, a smart thing to do, but also paying attention to, you know, what's going on. But like with your spouse, like so having your wife notice those things in you. But like my guess is you probably noticed you were tired before that happened, you know, or like, and there are times when you notice you're tired. And that's even like my conversation with Chris last week is like, I don't know if I have it this week. I'm tired. You know, I'm exhausted. I'm wiped. Having that conversation with my wife and saying, like even on the way home or a text or a phone call, even when I get home, honey, you're like, I'm a little tired today. I'm probably going to be, you know, a little grumpy or whatever. I don't know. I apologize ahead of time.
So the language, you know, here would be, this is what time I'm getting home. This is what time I can be present. And I think those two things, that distinction is important to make. But we can't forget that our wife has been at home all day with kids talking.
Or at her job all day.
And so we can't make the whole world centered around us. But I think there are times where it's like, I'm exceptionally tired because of these times. But the third one, I actually thought of another one. The third one is actually our older children.
I thought that was the next one. I thought we were still on the spouse. Communication is like in communication with your spouse and with your kids, like that's going to be number one with regards to getting through this, working through this. dad on an empty tank thing. But yeah, so you have, now you have four.
I have one more. I think it's kind of a bonus.
Oh, you added right. one more. So what was your third one before we get to the kids?
Kids was the third one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So we're still on, so we're still on the same
page.
Kids and
older kids, is it three and a 3.1 or?
No, is this an entirely separate count? You guys, oh, here at the Catholic Dad Show, we hold nothing back. You came for three amazing tips and a bonus. The bonus is coming in just a few minutes. If you haven't taken the time to smash that like or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on amazing bonuses like number four coming our direction, please make sure you do that. This is going to be good stuff. So,
all right. So number three is kids.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The older kids are can be helpful to the younger kids. And I've done that. I've pulled my kids aside. And to be honest, there's times where I've been like, well, I give you allowance every month, so do this thing. Like I sometimes I have to be like mean dad on a smaller yep. level to be like, no, older girls, I need you to watch your siblings. I need to go do this. And they're like, okay, like you're just laying down. Why can't you just come sit down here? I'm like, because you just can't. There's going to be kids climbing on my lap the whole time. Like, I need to go take 15 minutes. Give me 15 minutes. And they've gotten understanding over the years because on the times that they haven't been, they saw angry dad. And so maybe it's out of fear, but there's understanding.
At what age do you think that they can understand that? Because there's a certain age where they start to empathize and understand what other people are going through. And to be able to understand, hey, like, do you know how sometimes, like, and this is me talking to my daughter, you know, sometimes you have a bad day and you kind of just need some time to process that before you deal with other people or deal with your brothers and sisters. you know, daddy just had a day like that.
Right.
You know, I need a little time. You know, could you really be super helpful right now and do X, Y, and Z? You know, at what age do you think that that conversation would actually work?
7 to 8, they can understand.
Really? That's pretty young. Okay.
And then 8 to 10, they can empathize. So, oh, dad, okay. I understand. I've had hard days.
Yeah.
Oh, you're having one of those? Like, the world still revolves around me, dad. I don't care. Like, so that's 7 to 8 to where they're okay. not able to empathize. But between 8 to 10 is where I think they could actually respond and be like, okay, you go upstairs, take a few minutes. I'll be downstairs. If we need anything, I will come get you type of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a 9 to 10-year-old type thing. And yeah. I know that because my son said he wanted to watch my daughter the other day. And I get a phone call 45 minutes later. Hey, yeah, your son just came over to our house from the neighbor. And they're just going to hang out here until you get back. And for the record, in the state of Texas, there is no minimum age for leaving your kids home alone. So I did not break any laws, but it was not prudent. And I was only gone for a little bit. But that little bit was still too
long enough for him to leave the house with your daughter.
But he was given permission. I'm like, if you don't feel safe sure. or feel scared or you want another adult around, and he wanted another adult around. So
sure.
Yeah.
I was thinking 10, you know, I was thinking 10 and up, you know, was a pretty good, you know, ballpark as to when you can have those conversations with them and enlist their help. Of course, I enlist their help at a certain level every single day,
right?
You know, so-and-so make, you know, Gianna a drink, you know, get her an orange juice or whatever.
Right.
If it's something that I know that another child in my house is capable of doing, I'm not getting off the couch.
Yep.
but if it's a whole nother level where I need to ask my 16-year-old to make dinner, you know, and it might be a simple dinner, you know, just little Smokies and macaroni and cheese or something, but he can do that.
Yeah.
Like, and he's fully capable of that. You know, it would be something where I would pull him aside and say, hey, I'm going to ask a little bit more of you today because of X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But yeah, absolutely enlist your kids. Like you said, the ones that are younger aren't really going to understand, you know, that, you know, yeah. But any other thoughts on the kids?
There's a level to where I think it's okay if they're like not responding or whatever to show that you're exhausted. Like
yep.
I have seen it happen to where mom falls asleep on the couch because she's exhausted. And then I'm walking in the door after going on an errand or something like that. And they run up to me. They're like, daddy, be quiet. Mama fell asleep on the couch. And it's almost like they're trying to help mama get rest in that moment.
Yep.
And so yep. I don't think we try and put on this facade. I think being yeah. authentic to our kids, even our younger ones, is just saying, daddy's a little bit tired. He's going to sit down for a little bit. Or, hey, do you want to play outside? Well, I'll sit in the rocking chair and watch you guys play. I sound like a 90-year-old. I'll sit in my rocking chair and watch
and do my puzzle.
But we do. We got two amazing rocking chairs that our kids have since broken, but on our front porch, just amazing. The rockers are awesome. And watch you guys play, but Dad's not going to engage in you because he's exhausting. He's unwinding right now, you know? And so, those are kind of closing thoughts is don't be afraid. Don't put a facade. Be authentic in front of your kids. The last one, the bonus one, is and there is a fifth way, but those are ways that you shouldn't do it. You know what I mean? So the bonus one is money. Like money.
Okay.
You were away for a weekend, like, or you were you've been working late or working busy, working busy, whatever. Been real busy at work. Spend money. Like bring someone in to do the cleaning of your home if you can, or take the family out to eat or order food in, you know, whatever it is to
find. I thought you were saying you were going to pay your kids. Hey, here's $10. Stay in your room the rest of the night.
Here, how much do I need to give you to raise yourself for a week? Mom and dad are going out of town. Is $200 here's enough?
Some money.
Just raise Go yourself away. For a week. No, like spend money. People spend their time to make money, but they can also spend their money to save time. Right.
Yeah.
And so don't be afraid to say, hey, babe, I'm exhausted. I know you're exhausted. Tonight, Pizza Hut is getting us dinner. Papa John's is going to be Big Papa this evening. And you know, to be able to look at those things. Now, it's a different game when school's in session than when school's out. Summer, that's so easy. But when school's in session, like the kids with some reading challenges or that are struggling with their math, they still need an adult to sit down and do that. But there have been times, no joke, that we have hired a babysitter to come just so my wife and I can get stuff done around the house without having to deal with the kids. They call it like a mommy's helper or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But it's just a babysitter to watch the kids while you're doing other things. Again, that's using a resource to help you with this issue. And so if you're by yourself, your wife is gone and you're coming home from a big work event or like a weekend retreat and you know, like hire a babysitter for 90 minutes so that you come home, give the kids a hug and then go take an hour long nap and then you're back in it or whatever. Like don't be afraid to use some of the resources to support you so that you can get that rest, because ultimately being a dad on an empty tank is hard. It's difficult.
Yeah.
So how do we get out of that empty tank? Those are kind of the tips on how to get out of the empty tank, and you can spend your way out of an empty tank in some areas.
Yeah. And those are all, I mean, I think they're all really good ways of managing that period of time between when the tank is empty and it gets filled up again. And that's like the goal is for that to be a short period of time. You
know? Yes.
Like I said before, there are going to be times when it may take longer than that. Like if it's, you know, the death of a loved one that is just taking it out of you, you know, it may take it out of you for a week or a few days, you know? And that's again, completely understandable. But just still it's that period of time, you're managing that period of time between empty tank and full tank, whether it's a day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever, that we still need to manage that time well as dads.
Yeah.
So anything else on this, Chris?
Yeah. So it's important not to do the bad things.
Oh yeah. Bad things.
So that's like bad things. I believe that every man, every married man would love to be, left alone, 1 hour a day and 1 day a week. I know that sounds weird, but like if I just had a Chris day, maybe 1 day a month, just a Chris day, just everyone leave me alone. I could get all the thoughts in my head and everything settled in my life. A couple of the projects kind of knocked out of the way. It'd be great. And then about 1 hour a day, I need Chris time about 1 hour a day, right? The danger is in busy seasons, I'll steal from sleep. I'll rob myself of sleep to get that Chris time. And that doesn't fill my tank. I still end up being empty. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so
when you end up being more empty, you know, because then you're tired as well.
Yeah. So here are some ways that dads can sometimes try and artificially fill up an empty tank. Alcohol, right?
Yep.
Pornography. Pornography is a liar. A liar. Run. Okay. Media consumption, right? Yep. In general, sloth and things like that, but also withdrawal. I don't know exactly how people withdraw, but sometimes hey, I'm going to see visit my buddy, or even, hey, I'm going to be out in the shed. I'm going to be working on this project. You're not actually working on the project. You're avoiding your family, and you're just glad there's a project to give you a decent excuse for it, right? And so those are all unhealthy ways that we want to avoid, which is why even in our exhaustion, we can invite Jesus in. So it's like, normally I'm going to pray a rosary. I'm exhausted. I'm just going to pray a Hail Mary. Lord, I'm exhausted, and then say the prayer or whatever, but invite the Lord in, because those other ways actually will sustain, how to sustain an empty tank, do all those things, right?
Yeah.
And so those will not fill your tank. Beware of the liar. The enemy wants us to believe those things.
Well, and like work is the other thing. Like you say, do a project, like use work as an excuse not to go home.
Yep.
You know, and that's not good either. You know, it's the same thing, you know, it's still, and again, it's not going to fill your tank. I was wondering if you were going to talk about like more stuff about Angry Dad. Like what does Chris do when he gets into Angry Dad? But that's beyond depletion, I guess. It's when the reserves are gone too.
Yeah.
But no, I like that. That's all good stuff. What I want to hear from like those of you who are listening and everything like that is, you know, what are things that you found as well that help you manage that period of time between empty tank and refill, as well as the things that you may have a tendency to, or you've seen other people use to try to like artificially fill the tank or avoid that or whatever that have, I don't know, backfired. We got a whole bunch of car analogies here. This is weird.
That's amazing. Empty tank backfiring. Tell us your horror stories about all this, please. Yeah. You can reach out to us, chris@ablaze.us, matt@ablaze.us. Another great way to engage is comment. One of our favorite ways for you to engage is actually share the content. Please reach out to another dad. Golly, I know that we have some female listeners. I don't know if this is the one where you're like, hey, sweetheart, hey, why don't you, I know you're very busy, but why don't you listen to this episode as well? I mean, this is kind of like one of those to where if someone shares it with you, you're like, what are they saying about me? You know what I mean? But just receive it with grace. There you go.
Yep.
Cool.
All right. Thanks for joining us, guys.
And we will see you guys next time at the Catholic Dad Show, where we believe Catholic fatherhood can and is changing the world. Thanks again.
God bless.